time going. You know, crying won't make me stay. Well, now the more you cry, pretty baby, whether you're gonna drive, whether you're gonna drive. Lord, if I was a catfish mama, swimming in the deep blue sea, I'll have all these pretty women in England fishing after, fishing after. Get down, man.
Yeah, you took on Clarksdale.
Right.
And he ran into the Compress.
Right.
Yeah, and I was just getting off of work from Chambers, Mississippi, and he just, it was a gravel road in Clarksdale. Anyway, it was just about daybreak, and this black guy ran across the street in front of my car. I almost turned around to keep from hitting him. And if you know anything about a Compress, where they back up to load bales of cotton, well, it was a... There was a platform there, and this guy, he had something on his arm, I guess, which was the gun shell, and he had a shotgun in his hand. He jumped up on the platform, and he slid this big door open on the Compress, and he went in there, and he closed the door behind him. Well, there was a police car parked there also, and this police was ran out the house and got on the walkie-talkie.
Motorola.
Yeah, well, so I guess he was calling his...
cohorts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so the sheriff showed up, Mr. Blackwell. I think that was his name. He showed up, and when he showed up, he said, "I sure had to get the nigga out of there. You don't need all that." And he went up there and he grabbed the big door. The big door, you know, like what?
Like a hangar door.
About maybe 8 feet tall. And he grabbed this door and he slid this door open. When he slid this door open, boom! And the thing hit him right up here somewhere, and blood went everywhere.
What, a bullet? The guy shot him.
He hit him right up in here.
With a shotgun.
With a shotgun, yeah. And so then this other policeman, he jumped in the car, man. He squatted down by the car and started making calls. Anyway, about an hour, maybe not an hour, man, trucks and things started coming from everywhere. And they surrounded this Compress, which was about 5 or 6 blocks long, square. And you can get lost in a Compress if you don't know your way around in it, because they have rows and rows of cotton. Some that's been pressed and some that hasn't been pressed. And anyway, and they have a boiler room in there. And a boiler room, the only way out of a boiler room is the way you go in there. It's not another door in there. Only have a little steam thing on top where steam come out. Yeah, and so this guy didn't know that. And anyway, when people started coming in through all the different doors in the Compress, he undoubtedly got scared and ran into it. This is what I understand. You know, we were still out on the streets, but they say he ran into the boiler room. And so they shot gas in the boiler room. And so I guess that knocked him out. I don't know, but I do know that when they drug him out, they had him by one leg. They drug him out on the platform, and they cut his throat. And they cut his penis and his balls. They just took it and just whacked all that out. And they took that and stuck it in his neck. And I guess that was to scare the rest of us, you know. And so, to me, I looked at it like we took 26 of them with him before he left, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't scare me, you know. When...
Well, the reason why I asked...
The South.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way the South used to be. It's not that way anymore.
Thank you. Welcome to Blue Power, everybody.
Hiya, John. How you doing today?
All right, Jeannie. Listen, we've got a great show today.
We've got a great show today and a few episodes of this show. John and I flew down to Palomar, California a couple of weeks ago and had the great, delightful opportunity to interview in the flesh, in his music room, with him playing piano, none other than Mr. Ike Turner himself. He gave us this incredible interview.
Absolutely. A couple hours, at least.
A couple of hours. We've broken it up with some of the music, of the musical influences in his life, and some of the people that he was involved with in his life. And this man has been instrumental, excuse the pun, in a number of people's careers, mine own included. And so you're going to hear a lot of familiarity between Ike and myself on this interview.
I'll say, yeah.
It was done out of a little pearl quarter, so it's not exactly the best quality, but you'll get a good handle on who the man really, really is. And we're really proud to present this series
of interviews with
Ike Turner.
Hey, without any further ado, let's get right into it, Jeannie.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, Ike Turner interview.
The bad boy of the blues.
The piano's cutting off anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it was cutting off. It's not cutting off now.
Yeah. I think somebody's fingers.
Okay. Get that old swing.
No, he's over here. I'm just going to talk on the side, and then it's mainly important that we get Ike.
Yeah.
Here we are. It is now May 11th. 2000, and this is after years and years and years, I finally get the opportunity to interview my mentor, better known as tour mentor, Mr. Ike Turner. No, I'm kidding.
Jeannie Cunningham used to be friends.
Used to be friends. Now we're just family. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with the one and only Ike Turner, who is well known for a number of things, but one of the things that we really want to point out is his effect on rock and roll and how really when push comes to shove, Ike Turner is the father of rock and roll.
Women have heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along. Smart and designed, black convertible top, and the gals don't mind. Sporting with me, riding all around town for joy. Blow your horn, Raymond, blow. In my rocket and don't be late, baby, we're pulling out about 8:30. Going round the corner and get a feel for everybody in my car's gonna take a little nip. Move on out, oozing and cruising along.
Okay, piano first, correct?
Yeah.
Mom got you a piano.
Yeah.
And then you ultimately went on to guitar. How many years later, or was that almost immediately on the heels?
Well, I think I started playing piano when I was six or seven,
and
somewhere.
You started tuning them too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened is I told my mother I wanted a piano, and she bought me. She told me if I'd be promoted to the third grade, she would get me one. And so when I got home from school to show my report card, she already had the piano in there.
Oh.
And then, that was, I was crazy about that piano, man, because I saw Pine Top.
Perkins.
Yeah, I see him up the top up there. I had saw him and Sonny Boy Williams in them rehearsal for the radio station, because they were broadcasting from Helena, Arkansas back in those days. You probably know about that.
King Biscuit.
Yeah, you should know. That's right. They were brought, and anyway, they was over there rehearsing, man. I looked through that window and saw that man play the piano, and he was doing the boogie woogie, man. And I couldn't see his hand, man. His left hand.
Fine.
And I said, damn, man, I wish I could do that.
Thank you.
You know, they had a piano in church and things, but I never really noticed a piano. That was my first time to ever really notice that a piano was an instrument music come out of. You know, like, kids ain't thinking about that. You know, they're just going, I'm thinking about, man, I want to hear them get out of Sunday school or something, whatever, you know. So, anyway, that was...
That was my first experience
of really seeing somebody play a piano. And then after my mother bought me the piano, when I came home and the piano was there, she started giving me a dollar to go take a music lesson, because that's all it was, to take music lesson, a dollar a week. I would go every Thursday. And Miss Nichols, man, she was teaching me this crap. And man, I was, I didn't want to hear that. And then she also started, well, see, that's when I started playing by ear. She did this thing. She... And, man, see, that's too slow for me, man. I wanted to be hearing some of that. I wanted to hear that, you know. And so, anyway, man, I started going watching Pine Top. And so Pine Top, finally, he let Ernest Lane and I, he would let us, we was people to want us, so he told us we could come in, and we stood at the end of the piano and just watch him play. And then he started teaching us
little
thing. And then I really got interested in piano. So then, man, I started learning songs like Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me. I forgot.
I'll look it up. We'll find it.
And then another song, she don't even know the name of it. Yeah, that one, and then this one. Cow Boogie.
Yeah, Cow Boogie.
Yeah, yeah. And then I started, wow, man, then we started listening to Amos Milburn doing Chicken Shack.
I'm looking for that place they call the Chicken Shack. They say it's fine as wine and it's really on a ball. No windows, no doors, it's just a hole in the wall. Once more, it's a cinch. You could even get the last part that went over the fence. Yes, they say it's the place where all the bad cats meet. You better be mighty careful where you take a seat. Better be mighty careful. Let's have a ball. Come on, all you fellas, and take a drink for my pack, because the party's ready to start down at the Chicken Shack.
Yeah, Bad Whiskey went like...
We started out with soda and ended up all juice on bad, bad whiskey. Bad, bad whiskey. Bad, bad whiskey made me lose my happy home. My baby's gone and left me. Man, I feel so sad because the blues have got me. And I've sure got them bad, bad, bad whiskey. Bad, bad whiskey. Bad, bad whiskey. Made me lose my happy home. Made me lose my happy home.
A girl, man, woman used to play piano. She did a song. What was that chick's name, man? I can't think of her name.
Not Hatta Brooks.
But anyway, man, that chick could play piano, man. So if piano was popular in those days, it got to be, and they were doing things like after hours.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you something. In those days, was boogie woogie considered avant-garde or risky music? In other words, you know, when I was growing up in the formative years, the Beatles were considered risky. So I was thinking, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, when you were a teenager, what was your favorite song? Who performed it? And was it considered risky during those times, or was it something that your mother approved of? Because everything...
Well, everybody... my mother, she was just proud of me learning to play the piano, because she thought I was... The boogie-woogies and the stuff that I was... I would play whatever I hear on jukebox, and she thought that the music teacher was teaching me that.
But you thought she was getting her money's worth for a dollar. You never learned to read music, did you?
No, man. That Japanese looking stuff.
Me too.
That polka dot stuff.
It's all by here.
Polka dots.
Yeah.
Were you the only member of your family that had musical inclinations, or did you come from a long line of musicians somewhere?
No. I don't know. I think my mother said my great grandfather played, but. My mother didn't do nothing, but she just danced while she sewed.
Did she sing?
No, man, I've never seen my mother sing. I never even saw her try to sing. She covered couches and made drapes and stuff like that, because I used to sew.
She was very talented.
I used to help her sew so I could earn monies, and then I would sell chickens, too, and stuff.
Yeah, I heard you could show sew.
Oh, shut up.
All right, I remember a while back, I heard you sing a song called Bootsy Whitelaw. Lordy, lordy, lordy.
Yeah.
Bootsy Whitelaw.
Yeah.
Did you write that?
Yeah.
Who is Bootsy Whitelaw? People have asked me who is Bootsy
No,
Whitelaw.
Tina started writing it, and what it was, Bootsy Whitelaw was like a pimp.
A pimp.
That's what he is.
He's a real guy?
But I was, he was an imaginary guy, because I had Tina saying, my papa died when I was young, all I ever knew was my pa. I never ever went to school. I never learned that much about street rules. But anyway, we just wrote the song according to the way that they would be about a pimp. And in the end, the mother was in love with the same dude.
Mm.
That's the thing of the story. You know, I asked my mother what to do, and she told me she was in love with Booster, too.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But anyway, we never did get that record right, so it was really no good.
How do you think where you were born in Clarksdale, Mississippi, affected the sound of your music? And what were the local influences? Now, we talked about Pine Top Perkins, but what were other local influences there who influenced your early style? And then who were the major stars at that time who were influencing your style? So when you turned on the radio, who were the major stars that you listened to? And also the local stars, obviously.
Amos Mill Burns, Jim and Joe Liggins. Louis Jordan was my favorite, but ain't nobody here but a chicken.
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barnyard with the greatest of care. Down in the hen house something stirred when he shouted, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. there ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. You're stomping around and shaking the ground. You're kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble. It's a sin. Tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worms to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. Oh, there ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. Kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay. Things to do, we got eggs to lay, we got ground to dig and worms to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. And kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay. Hey, hey, boss man, what do you say? It's easy pickings. There ain't nobody here but us chickens.